Today is Thursday, February the 4th, 2016. We're going to have Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Shir and Parshas Mishpatim.
It's nice to see everybody. Lynn and I missed you guys. I know that Lynn was here last week. I wasn't, so it's nice to see all of you.
Yeah.
I texted Lynn. She knew I was here.
I didn't hear that from my children. So.
Yeah, I heard it from my children.
Anyway, while I was gone, I wanted to mention that I really appreciate somebody who took care of the class, the food, things of that nature, my friend Ira. I'm sure that he was thanked then, but I personally would like to thank him myself. Thank you, Ira, for being so generous and nice, as you always are. Thanks. I want to mention that I'd like to thank Rabbi Berger and Young Israel for being so kind to us, allowing us to have this wonderful class with Rabbi Soloveitchik here. And I want to thank those, some of them may not be here, who set up the room, who set up the tables, who got everything ready and clean for us. I would like to thank them for being so nice, and I'd like to thank them for their time. I would like to mention we have somebody that deserves a congratulations. My good friend Gary Elkins' son, Adam Elkins, got engaged. He got engaged to a very lovely girl, Rifki Rosenblatt, and she's a very sweet girl, and it's very, very nice to hear good news. I wish only the nicest things, you and your family.
Kiddush.
Give me a chance. Would you tell us about your future husband? He's a great guy.
Yeah, and you can meet him not this Shabbat, but the following Shabbat. He'll be here.
How wonderful!
For
what is it? What's his name?
Nathan.
Last name?
Faye.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Mazel tov to you and your family. We only know from nice things. Beautiful. When's the wedding?
March 6th.
Okay, so you beat us by a couple of weeks. That's good. This week's class is being sponsored by two people. First, I'd like to mention that it's being sponsored by my good friend Mark Oberlander in memory of his dear aunt. What was her name? Your aunt's name?
Nina Bat Moshe.
Okay. And also in memory of my dear brother, Benyomin Ben Eliezer, Bert. I'd just like to mention that in memory of my brother, he was a very fine person. He's a very, very good man. And it's been almost, 11 years that he's been gone. And he's very, very much missed by the family, by his son and his daughter and his wonderful wife. And our entire family. I hope your aunt's neshama and my brother's neshama, they get benefit from this this beautiful class. Okay. I'm going to ask everybody who has a telephone to please either shut it off or silence it. It would be very much appreciated. We don't want to be interrupted. And we're going to be davening Marav about 3 minutes after the class. I'm going to ask everybody, whatever you can do, please leave the tablecloths on the tables. But I ask you to please clean off all your plates and cups and napkins. Get them into the garbage. I don't want to leave anything on these tables. And then put the chumashes back onto the cart back there when you're done with them. And I'd like to welcome Esther as well. Esther, welcome. Okay.
Okay. I want to continue the discussion that I started last week about the idea of Mesoras HaTorah, the giving of the Torah through Moshe. At the end of this week's Sedra, on page 442 in the Art Scroll Chumash, Torah says, when Moshe Rabbeinu is going up to Mount Sinai, Vayakam Moshe v'Yeshua Mishorso, Moshe stood up with Yehoshua, his servant, Vayal Moshe Har Halakim, and Moshe went up to the mountain of God. In other words, originally the Skenim were told to stay aside. Then Moshe continues till the mountain with Yehoshua. Yehoshua camps by the foot of the mountain. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to the mountain. And Rashi says, Lo Yadati, I don't know Mativo shall Yehoshua kan. What's the function of Yehoshua here? And why, either what's the function of Yehoshua, or what's the purpose of the Torah emphasizing that Yehoshua went up with Moshe? So he says, well, Yehoshua was the student of Moshe, so he accompanied Moshe on the way. And so he accompanied Moshe the way, and Yehoshua then set up his tent, and he waited till Moshe came down. Now, I think, and this does not contradict Rashi, what I'm going to say, but I want to suggest something actually that could fit into the words of Rashi, although it's certainly not explicit in Rashi. And I've talked about this many times. And, you know, sometimes I think of the leaders, the teachers of the Jewish people when I was younger. If you want to call it, you could call it the European generation that came to America. And I look at the teachers of the Jewish people in our present time. And we always say that the generations go down a little bit, usually, from generation to generation. After all, the previous generations are closer to the Mesorah. But there are certain periods, certain differences, certain times of history, that it's not just that there is a decrease. But it's something altogether different. And we find it, there's a different approach that we have towards the Rishonim, to the early commentators, as opposed to the later commentators. The later commentators being the Achronim. We can't argue with the Rishonim. And what usually there is a special historical event that separates. It's not just a generation, but it's like a new age, and not a better age. There's usually a major historical event. If I was to take a historical event, of course you have overlapping generations that separate the Rishonim from the Achronim. I would say it's the expulsion of the Jews from Spain. Now, it wasn't just the expulsion of the Jews from Spain. Then they went to Portugal and they were massacred there. So it was ongoing for many years. So it wasn't just, that period didn't just represent a change from one generation to the other, but was it altogether a new period of time in terms of the Mesoras HaTorah. Now, and I think that our generation, as a result of World War II, as a result of the Shoah, as a result of the Holocaust, saw also that dramatic change. It wasn't just one generation to another. It was something altogether different. But of course, you have an overlapping generation. And the difference manifests itself not just among the Talmidei Chachamim, among the scholars, among the great Torah teachers, that goes without saying, but I think even in terms of your regular day-to-day Jew, there was a big difference. This is the sense I have, this is my impression. The Jew of Europe, the pre-Holocaust Jew, I think it was from the inside out. The Jew of America, even the most religious, is from the outside in. Our feelings and our emotions is what molds our actions. Where I think, and excuse me, just the reverse, the actions is what molds our feelings and emotions. Whereas I think the Jews of Europe, it was the feelings and emotions internally, the eternal commitment that molded the nature of our actions. And a lot of this is due to the nature of religious life. But I think it's due to another thing as well. And this is something probably universal. It's not limited to Jewish people. I think basic Jewish education, the focus of Jewish education in America, the responsibility of Jewish education in America, was something that is given over to the schools, to the teachers. By the time a boy comes to school, You can't teach a boy how to feel. You can't teach a boy what emotions to have. You can only tell him how to act. And you think that on the basis of that, that will cause a certain feeling, a certain emotion internally also. However, the basic religious education, and I'm not talking now about the studying of Chumash. There are certain things that come even prior to the learning of Chumash, to the learning of Gemara. I think in Europe, the education began at the home. And when education begins from infancy, so it starts with the feelings and emotions, and then the actions, when a child becomes old enough, the actions begin. And this is true in all situations, but certainly with the masses of the Jews, I think this was different. But I want to focus on the concept of the teacher, the concept of the leader. The Torah says here, Moshe went with Yeshua, Mativo Shel Yeshua Kan. Now, we usually understand teaching that somebody gives a lesson. Today, you can sign up and you can use the internet.
Online.
Huh?
Online.
And you'll get online. And you'll hear shiurim. And I'm not talking against that. I think it serves a very important purpose. But your teacher is your internet. When you learn from a teacher personally, you learn much more. Because the teacher, at least you should learn much more. Because you have to learn more than just the words that the teacher gives over. This feeling and emotion. I always mention what my father would say about the Shira. The Shira in the Torah, those Yashir. There is more as written differently than the rest of the Torah. The Shira is written with more empty spaces than written words, than spaces filled with words. Why is that? So my father would say, because the empty spaces represents a tune. A Shira song has a tune. And the message of a song is conveyed more through the tune very often than just through the words. And to a certain degree, the whole Torah is considered a song. It may not be written that way. The Torah is referred to as Kisvu Lachem Es Hashira Zos. Write the Torah. Write this song. The whole Torah, that's the mitzvah of writing the Torah. Kisvu lachem es hashira zos. Now, of course, we have the trop, but it's more than that. What does a song reveal? The song reveals emotions. The tune reveals emotions. It reveals feeling. Something that words alone could not reveal. And I think in giving over Torah, It's Torah has feelings and emotions also. The internet can only give over the words of Torah, some of the ideas of Torah, but the feelings and the emotions of Torah cannot be given over so successfully with the internet or with the tape recorder or whatever it is. And I think this is Vayakam Moshe v'Yeshua Mishar. So why was it important for Yeshua to accompany Moshe? I explained it on my shiur. The shiur talks about how Talmidim, how students, Tanoim, would insist on learning, following their Rebbe everywhere. In other words, why? Because there was what to learn, not just from the shiur that the Rebbe gave, but just the way the Rebbe acted in his dealings with people. And a lot of this can't, when you deal with people, you can't write down. Successfully, you can't write down how to deal with people. You can say, don't steal, don't do this, be nice. But where do people learn how to deal with others? It has to be seen. By example. And I think this was the point. The Rambam says that the three close students of Moshe was Moshe, Eliezer, and Yeshua, Eliezer, and Pinchas. But Yehoshua, that he was the student of Moshe. Tzivohu Alecha, he commanded him, and the Mesorah goes through Yehoshua. And interesting, from Yehoshua it goes to Pinchas. But he learned from Moshe Rabbeinu. And all three of them learned through Moshe Rabbeinu. And we find that there were halachas that were forgotten in the days of Tavelus and Moshe, that other people, not Yehoshua, were able to figure out through their learning. But only Yehoshua is the one from whom Torah is transmitted. Why? What did Yehoshua have over the other students of Moshe? It's in one word here, Misharso. He was his servant. What does it mean, his servant? In other words, he accompanied Moshe. He's the one that set up, the Medrash talks about him setting up the chairs in Moshe Rabbeinu's Beis Medrash. In other words, he not only heard Moshe Rabbeinu shiurim, he saw how Moshe Rabbeinu acted. And more than seeing how Moshe Rabbeinu acted, he saw Moshe Rabbeinu's emotions, Moshe Rabbeinu's feelings. And that's Torah also. So somebody, Yehoshua, had to accompany Moshe to the mountain, because Torah wasn't just the speeches Moshe Rabbeinu gave. It wasn't just the lessons that Moshe Rabbeinu gave. Even the impressions of his face, that was also Torah. Rabbi Yochanan said that he was a Talmud of Rebbe when he was younger, but he sat or stood in the back of Rebbe when Rebbe gave the shiur. And he said, had he been in front of Rebbe, he would have known a lot more. He heard the same shiur. And he, being in the back of Rebbe is what to learn. But in the front of Rebbe, you could see the emotions and the feelings on his face. And he, in a sense, felt deprived. And he felt that that had an impact on him. That he wasn't able to be in front of, to see Rebbe's face when he learned. Because Rebbe taught not only with his mouth, but he taught with the impressions on his face. So that's why the Torah says, if I was to say the difference between teachers today, well, teachers today, by the way, can be very, very close to their students. That's not lacking. You have teachers that go out of their way. But I don't think to the same degree that you have teachers whom we could learn from their emotions and feelings like the previous generation. And that all goes back to the same thing. It's from the outside in. From the inside out. The teachers of the previous generation, it was from the inside out. Words can't give the whole inside. Words can only give a certain types of ideas. And I think that's something that my generation was able to see. But unfortunately, we are not on the level. We're not on the level to do the same thing. The only thing we could do is through our teaching somehow to keep alive our teachers. And of course, there's something lacking that they don't see the teachers themselves. But sometimes when we describe our impressions of the emotions and feelings, we can somehow give over to the future generations a percentage of what they might have seen had they sat in front of our teachers. Now, at the end of Parshas Kisisa, Torah says that when Moshe came down from Har Sinai, Lo yada ki koran or pana bedabru ito, he didn't know that there was beams of light coming out of his face. Now, Michelangelo apparently did not know how to read, did not understand Chumash. So the word koran, which means light, also could be read keren, horns. So because of that, Michelangelo, when he made his famous statue of Moses, he put some horns on Moses' head. Now, I tell you the truth, I don't know who was his Chumash teacher, because it says on his face and it wasn't on his head. So I don't know where he was coming from. But in any case, by the way, that helped save Jews, because sometimes in areas where they didn't know what a Jew was and a Jew happened to be there, he was able to prove that he wasn't Jewish by taking off his hat. And there were no horns there, so that's... So some Jews... They were able to save their lives that way. But in any case, so there is a purpose in everything. But the question is, where did these beams of light come from? And there are two Lashonas in the Medrash. One I mentioned that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was writing the Torah, so now we're not so used to this because we don't use ink and pen like they used to. but ink got on from the quilt or whatever it was that that Moshe Rabbeinu was using. Ink got on his fingers, and he rubbed his fingers against his forehead, and the beams of light came from this. What does that mean? Now, what that means is that what is the ink that was not used for writing, that letters were not written with? That's the part of the Torah that was not written down. But that represents the Torah Sheba'al Peh. I talked last week about person, the idea of the Mesorah. The Torah has to be learned only through the Mesorah. Moshe Rabbeinu not only gave the Torah, but Moshe Rabbeinu was the Torah. On one hand, he was the Torah Sheba'al Peh. He was the oral Torah. And I've mentioned many times, if you take a look again, the Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim, the Be'etain, on page 442, V'etnu l'chos luchos heaven, I'll give you the tablets of stone, V'ha-Torah, so the Yerushalmi says, Torah, that means the five chumashim, V'ha-Mitzvah, Yerushalmi says, that's Mishnah. Rashi brings it down. Asher Kasafti, that's Nevi'im Uksuvim. Laharosam, that's Gemara. So the Torah, the Pasuk speaks of the Torah being divided into four sections. One is the Chumash. The second is the Torah v'hamitzvah. That's the Mishnah. Asher Kasafti, that I wrote. That's the Nevi'im Uksuvim laharosam, to direct them. That is the Gemara. So four sections. What's the idea? They didn't, certainly in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no Mishnah, there was no Gemara. It was all one. But the Torah, there's a difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh, between the written Torah and the oral Torah. The written Torah has to be learned from the written Torah. The oral Torah, in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, as well as for generations afterwards, could not be written down. Could not. It had to be transferred from teacher to student, from teacher to student. It couldn't be written down in a public manner, to be taught publicly. A person was allowed to have his private notes, but the Torah could not be taught over. The oral Torah could not be taught over with a text. And certainly not with a written text. But the halacha created, and Nevi'im Iksuvim, in some form or shape, were given to Moshe at Sinai. But they weren't able to be written down yet. But the difference between Torah and Nevi'im Iksuvim on one hand, and the oral Torah on the other hand, is the Chumash and the Nevi'im Iksuvim, the words themselves are Torah. If somebody will say, Bereishis bara lekim es hashamayim v'haaretz, God created the first pasuk, and he won't understand what one word means, he will still have a fulfillment of Talmud Torah, because the words of the written Torah are Torah, even if you don't understand it. However, when it comes to the oral Torah, there really are no words, it's ideas. So there are ideas. So if you don't know it by heart, if you don't know it by heart, if you don't understand it, you don't fulfill a mitzvah. The Balatanya says if you work hard and you get it, so you fulfill the mitzvah. But if you just reach Shnayim Oksim B'talis, two people held on to a talis, you don't understand what it's talking about, you don't fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Because there it's not the words that are Torah, it's the ideas that are Torah in the Oral Torah. Now, at that time, Moshe Rabbeinu, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in giving of the Torah, was, I mean, we know eventually the Torah, even the Oral Torah, had to be written down. Even the Oral Torah had to be written down. And even the Oral Torah had to be written down. So the Halacha created four separate sections of Torah. You had the Chumash, which to a certain degree was written down in Moshe Rabbeinu's lifetime. And parts of the Chumash that were included in the Sefer HaBris was written down at the time of Matan Torah, at the time of the giving of the Torah. Then you had what was transferred to Moshe, the words of the Nevi'im and Ksuvim, that will only be written down later, but the words themselves were Torah. And then you had the concept of Mishnah. Mishnah, now, this was written by the Amorayim, who the Gemara quotes, but at that time there was no Gemara yet. So what does the Horosa mean, Zu Gemara? What does it mean? There was no Gemara yet. The Gemara tells us this, that previous generations said this. So what was Mishnah was the part of Torah Shebal Peh, the part of the written Torah, of the oral Torah, that could be written down. What was Gemara? Gemara was the part that wasn't allowed to be written down. In other words, initially, they were allowed to write certain parts of the Oral Torah, but they couldn't write the whole Oral Torah. Eventually, it became necessary to write the whole Oral Torah. But originally, only certain parts were allowed to be written down. Why? In other words, and why is there a prohibition at the very beginning to write down the Oral Torah? And I mentioned, because the Medrash says that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from, when Moshe Rabbeinu came, because the Jewish people made the golden calf, so they had to get an Oral Torah. So the question is, you mean all the laws of the Gemara would not have applied if they didn't make a golden calf? The answer is, a large part of the Oral Torah, the Beis Halevi says, would have been included in the written Torah. Why wasn't it included in the written Torah? So, because the Jews made the golden calf. What's the logic to that? What's a punishment? But what did the making of the golden calf demonstrate? The making of the golden calf demonstrated the impact, Moshe Rabbeinu being away from the Jewish people for 40 days. Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the teacher, the ultimate teacher of the Jewish people. And when he was gone for 40 days, the people who said, Nasa v'nishma, we will do and we will listen, who according to our sages were at that point on a higher level than even the angels, stood in front of a golden calf and said, Elu Elecha Yisrael, this is your God, O Israel. How is that possible? The answer is, sometimes when we're with our teacher, we have a certain commitment. But when the teacher is gone, then we don't have that commitment anymore. So the Egel Havzav, the golden calf, demonstrated how important it was to have a teacher. That's why you weren't allowed to write down the whole Torah initially. Because If the whole Torah could be written down, who would need a teacher? You go to the library, you take out the book, and you read it. So it couldn't be written down in order to necessitate a teacher. And even when they started writing it down, only small parts were allowed to be written down. That was the Mishnah. Then ultimately, as the Jewish people spread all over the face of the earth, the Chachamim had no choice, but they had to allow everything to be written down. And it's very interesting. The Yerushalmi says there are four things. Torah, that's the Chumash. Torah is the Chumash. Torah, HaMitzvah, that's the Mishnah. Asher Kasafti, that's Nevi'im Uksuvim, Lo Rosam, that's Gemara. The Rambam only mentions two things. He says, Torah, that's Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah. And Mitzvah, that's the oral Torah. So the question is, the Yerushalmi says there are four categories in the Rambam. The answer is, in time of the Rambam, you were allowed to write down all of Torah Shebalpeh. So everything became Mishnah. Mishnah means the part of the oral Torah that could be written down. And the Nevi'im Uksuvim, which originally just the words were given over, could also became written down. So it all came part of Torah. So there were only two categories. But the important thing is, we needed an oral Torah in order to necessitate a teacher. Why to necessitate a teacher? So, the answer is because there's a lot that we can learn from a teacher that can't be written down. But if everything that could be written down, it will be written down, almost no one will have a teacher. They'll use teacher till third grade. So it was necessary to limit what could be written down in order to necessitate a teacher. And this was Moshe Rabbeinu, he was that ultimate teacher. The rays of light, where did the rays of light come from? It came from the ink that was not used to write the Torah. The ink that was not made into words. The Torah had to be given over by Moshe. But the Torah given over by Moshe was not limited to the words that Moshe said. It came from his face. It came from his very being. That's what we're lacking today. Today we have teachers. But teachers, even dedicated teachers, devoted teachers. But most of what we're learning is what the lessons that they oralize, not who they are. There's a certain student of my father's, very close with me, and he said to me, when he was in my father's class, he said he wasn't on the level to understand my father's shiur, my father's class. And we have many students who never got near my father's class, but they constantly tell everybody that my father was their Rebbe, their teacher. They were never even in his class. But the answer is that my father taught not just with the Shirim, he taught a lot with the Shirim, but his very being, the way he acted, who he was, that's how he taught. And this is the idea, of course, that's in a Moshe Rabbeinu, those were the rays of light. The rays of light was that. And then there's one other medrash. The medrash says, where did the rays of light come? When Moshe said, I wanted to see, Hareini Nos Kvotecha, show me your glory. And God passed by him, figuratively. And he said, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham Bechanan, God, God, merciful, God describes himself. The traits of God. And there was light. And that light, Moshe was hiding in a cave, and there was a small hole. And as God figuratively passed by Moshe, that light emanating from God's passing by, it became the rays of light. What's the idea behind it? The idea behind it is that in a sense, when Moshe had to explain to Yisrael why all the people are coming to him, he said, Lidrosh es halakim. They come to me to seek out God. They came to ask Moshe Rabbeinu Shailas. They came to ask Moshe to teach them. And when Moshe Rabbeinu explains it to Yisrael, he says, Lidrosh es halakim. In other words, when we teach Torah, it's not our Torah. And this is what I emphasized yesterday. We have to teach it as God's Torah. And teaching it as God's Torah means that we have to do our best to make sure we don't turn the halacha into what we want, but into what we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. And our way of knowing that is only through the Masorah. But it's interesting. When God passes by, what does he say? Hashem, Hashem, kel rachem b'chanan, God, God, merciful, chanan, graceful, and everything. It talks about traits, character traits. And the mitzvah is, v'halachta b'drachav, you have to imitate God by having these character traits. V'halachta b'drachav, you have to be merciful, just as God is merciful. Yet you have to be Erech HaPayim. You have to be patient, just as God is patient with people. It's character traits. How do we give over that, in a sense, when they're coming to us to learn that it's Lidrosh es HaLakim, give over the idea that the Torah is the Torah of God by V'halachta B'drachav, by trying to imitate the ways of God. We imitate the ways of God not by creating our own halacha, but we imitate the ways of God by being God's partner. How do we become God's partner? By being merciful, by having the proper character traits, by treating people properly to show the same devotion to mankind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows to mankind. That's the idea of, and this was the significance of Yehoshua. Yehoshua more than anybody else. The other students learned as much from Moshe. Some of the other students might have learned as much from Moshe as Yehoshua in terms of the share Moshe Rabbeinu gave, in terms of the character traits. Yehoshua was the main student. He was the Bashar son.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, I'd like to wish everybody a good Erev Shabbos. Please leave the tablecloths on the tables. Remove all the plates and napkins and things like that. We'll be davening Marav in about 3 minutes.